1, if you want to, mark Psalms 145 this morning, okay? Psalms 145. Just mark that in your Bible there. But I'm going to read from Job chapter 1. If you're able to stand this morning for the reading of God's Word, if you're not able, God understands that. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, I've told you before, but let me stop here this morning, pause just for a moment. Those sons of God, that terminology in the Old Testament, probably were angels. Angels, I think God has appointed to watch over His creation down here, and I'm not going to go in detail and all that, but I think they report in, and this is what took place here. They reported in. And so Satan came along like he was still doing his job. He reported in right along with them. But if you study the Bible, the one creatures that do not have a watchman over them are the creeping things. And I probably think, from my terminology or from my thinking, my theology or whatever you want to put it, that may have been his job. That's why he was able to subdue the serpent there. And verse 7 said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" This shows us Satan's real this morning. You can converse with him today. The Lord was talking with him here. Now, the Lord knew where he'd come from, where he'd been, what he'd been doing, but he always asked these questions, like to the devil, to Adam. I guess he wants a confession, and the Satan used it as an opportunity to brag a little bit. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." In other words, he said, "I've just been doing whatever I want to down there in the earth. Nobody can stop me. And I've been tearing down everybody that I want to. Nobody can stand up against me. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" I said sometimes God may brag on us. I don't think he's got much to brag up on me, but he could brag about Job here. And it got Job in trouble when God started bragging on him. The devil got upset and mad with him. He said, "He feareth God and escheweth evil, stayeth away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, now get this morning, if you don't get anything else out of what I say. Doth Job fear God for what? Not. A question mark there. In other words, he said, God, he says, the reason Job fears thee and the reason Job serves thee and the reason Job worships thee, he says, because you're paying him to do that. Does he fear you for naught, for no reason? Isn't there a reason? Now look what he said, what you've done here. He said, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast what? Blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." In other words, he said, you're paying Job to worship you. You're paying Job to fear thee. You're paying Job to follow ye. To serve thee. Look what he said in verse 11. "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Verse 12. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So now get this. Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground." And notice that word worship. You may be seated. I thank you for honoring the reading of God's Word. I know I elaborated on quite a few verses there while you were standing, but maybe you need the rest this morning, okay? Stand up and you'll grow taller, they always told me, but it hasn't worked too well with me. I want to try to preach to you. I want you to notice in verse 12 there, the last part of that verse, "So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord this morning." I want to ask you a question. Where did Satan go and what did he find when he got there? Okay? Where did he go and what did he find when he got there? All right? We know that he went down to Job's house. The Lord had gave him permission to go to Job's house. He said all of his substance. Now, what I told you a few minutes ago, what Satan accused God of doing, he said, you're paying Job to serve you. You're paying Job to worship you, okay? And when he got down there, what did he find in verse 20 there? He found Job doing what? He found Job worshiping the Lord this morning, all right? And so sometimes we ought to worship the Lord just because of His person this morning. The Bible teaches there in verse 21. Now, notice the circumstances. Job had lost all of his substance, had he not? If you read the previous part of what that verse chapter tells us there, Job had lost all of his cattle and all of his asses and all of his sheep and everything. Job not only lost all of his substance, or he lost all of his wealth, he lost his ability to counsel, his job there. He had counseled young men before this. Young men would come to him and he would counsel them. He'd lost his position, his ability to work and everything because of his health and everything we find out. And Job, the Bible said, shaved his head and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. He said, what? The Lord gave, and the Lord had done what? Taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we ought to worship God just because of what He is this morning, and who He is this morning, because of the circumstances today. Look at Job's circumstances. Did he have any reason to worship God? No, he did not today. Job had went down to the funeral home, and Job had picked out 10 caskets there. I mean, I don't know what colors he got. Maybe he got a wood one for this one, a different color for children, but he had just buried 10 children, had he not? Job had, like I said, went to the funeral home and picked out 10 caskets there. He'd walked out to the graveyard and saw him dig 10 holes in the ground. He stood by there while the preacher tried to do his best and comfort Job and try to when they committed those bodies to the earth there, and to try to give Job hope that he would see him again one day after a while. The preacher may have looked at Job and said, Job, did you not say yourself, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that in the latter day he shall stand up on the earth down here. And did you not say your own self, all my appointed days I've waited for my change to come? Have you not said these words your own self, Job? I don't know what the preacher said trying to comfort Job, but after Job had buried his tent, anybody ever had to go to a funeral here and bury a child? I've not lost a child this morning. I praise God for that this morning. But maybe some of you have. Job had not only lost one child, he had lost 10 children. In one day, he buried 10 children there, and then the Bible says he goes back, and what does he do? He shaves his head, bows down to the ground, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord will take away, and blessed be the name of God. Hey, he worshiped God because of who God was, not because of the circumstances. And if we aren't careful all the time, we fail to worship God because of the circumstances this morning. If we wake up and we got good health and we're feeling good, we wake up like the song says, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with what? Heaven on my mind. And we worship God. But if we aren't careful, sometimes we let our circumstances. If we get up feeling bad, we forget to praise God for getting us out of bed. If we get up feeling sick or feeling bad, we forget to thank God that we're still alive. We forget to thank God that we're still able to walk and still able to God help. We forget to praise God because of what? Listen, we praise God a lot of times because of circumstances, but we ought to praise Him no matter what goes wrong in our life. We ought to praise God just because He deserves our praise this morning. Look at Psalms 145 with me. Everybody there say amen. And I'll get there in a second. Look what he says in verse 1. The psalmist said, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will do what? Bless thy name. How long? Forever and ever. He didn't say if I feel good or if I feel bad. He didn't say if I'm sick or if I'm healthy. He said, I'm just going to do it forever and forever, okay? And then look what he says. Every day will I bless thee. Did we bless the Lord this morning when we got up today? If not, this is our opportunity. Every one of us is saved this morning ought to say, bless the Lord. Everybody saved ought to say, I praise the Lord this morning. The Bible commands us to let everything that happen. Have you got breath this morning? Then you ought to say, praise the Lord. I said, everything that's got breath this morning ought to say right now, I praise the Lord this morning. We ought to bless Him because of who He is this morning. He deserves our praise, does He not? Somebody said, well, things are going bad. I know things go bad. Things was bad in Job's life. Verse 3, great is the Lord. And what? Greatly to be praised. We ought to praise Him because of His greatness this morning. Is that what it says? And His greatness is what? Unsearchable. You can't search out God's greatness and God's goodness and God's mercy this morning. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall do what? Declare thy mighty acts. We ought to praise Him for letting the sun come up this morning. Did you hear me? I don't like wet weather. It just depresses me, if I can use that word this morning. But when it's gloomy and wet and overcast outside, boy, just thank God for letting the sun come up this morning. We ought to praise Him because His greatness is unsearchable this morning. We ought to praise Him because of who He is this morning. When He went down to the house of Job, that's where He went to. What did He find? He found Job worshiping God this morning. That's what we come out here for. We ought to just worship Him this morning and give Him praise. That worship that comes from a terminology of a dog licking his master's hand today. We ought to smell the fragrance and aroma from his hand and praise him for it. Look at verse 5. I will speak of thy what? Honor, thy glorious honor, and of thy what? In other words, we ought to just praise him because I'd like to introduce to you his majesty. Are you listening to me? His majesty, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If someone has got a majestic character about them, if someone's got a royal, a duke or earl or some other kind of name or prince or king about them, when we introduce them this morning, we ought to stand in awe and sit in awe because they're in our presence. Hey, we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning that comes to meet with us. Hey, we ought to praise Him this morning, worship Him just because of His greatness this morning, because of His majesty this morning. We ought to sit in awe and say, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has took up His abode in my heart. Shouldn't we praise Him this morning? They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and sing of thy righteousness. He's righteous this morning no matter what he does today. Let me just stop here. I was going to say this later. Someone asked me one time, said, Homer, said, what if you missed it? If by some chance, what if you do go to hell? What are you going to do? I said, I'll get down there and I'll start praising Him. Because you know what I say? I deserve to go to hell. You're righteous, Lord. I'm sinful and I'm filthy and I'm ungodly and I should be in hell this morning. And if by some chance I was to go there, I'd still praise Him for sending me to hell today. Because I tell you, you did right, God. I honor your name and I honor your word. And you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to get mad. He's going to get mad at me down there praising Him. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to kick me out of hell. there's no chance in the world of me going to hell and being lost this morning. Hey, we ought to praise Him. We ought to just do like Job. We ought to worship Him because of who He is this morning. Somebody else say, praise the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord is what? Should we praise Him for that? My definition of grace is in spite of. He blesses us in spite of ourselves. He blesses us in spite of our character. He blesses us in spite of our failures, does He not? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and what? And of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. Shouldn't we praise Him for that this morning? Yeah. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are all over all His works. All the works, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall do what? Are you a saint this morning? What should you do there? You ought to bless His name this morning. I said, you ought to bless His name this morning. They shall speak of thy glory and of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and thy dominion endureth throughout what? All generations today. What a Savior we have this morning. Look back with me in Job chapter 2 for a moment, all right? The devil, God told him, because he accused God of paying Job, to said, you blessed his substance. And God said, everything that he owns is in thy hand. And we see what he done. He took everything that Job had away. He had no riches, no automobile, no cattle, right? No asses, no lambs, nothing like that. He lost all of his riches. He went from being rich to poverty just in a matter of a few hours there. The servants came in one after the other and said, the Sabaeans came and they did this, and the others come and they did this. And God sometimes permits the devils to have power that I can't comprehend. He lets the devil sometimes have control even of the universe, of the winds. And because he said, just go ahead and touch whatever he's got. And the servant come in and said, your sons and your daughters had all gathered at the elder son's house, and there was a wind came. Who do you think brought that wind up? Was it not the devil? Yeah. Did God not permit him to have control over the wind, its own self, that he might blow the house down and kill all of Job's children there? Everything that he had was in the devil's hand, and God permitted him to do that this morning. But yet when he come down to Job's house, what did he find? He was down there, shaved his head, bowed down to the ground, and worshiping God. That's what he found. Hey, if he comes by my house and your house, what will he find this morning? I pray, God help us, that he'll find us worshiping God today. Because of who he is, not due to the circumstances. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Same old scenario, same old story. We see it all over again. He asks Satan the same questions. He answers with the same words. Where you been? What you been doing? To and fro, down, up and down the earth. Same old comment about Job. He knew what Satan had done to him. And then, in verse 12, Satan says, now wait a minute, Lord. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life. He said, Job, in other words, was willing to sacrifice his children's life. He's willing to sacrifice all of his substance. He was willing to sacrifice everything that he had and go from rich to poverty. He's willing to give all that up that he might just preserve his own life. Skin for skin, everything a man has, he'll give for his life down here. In other words, that wasn't a hard thing. God, has he not got the right name, devil, this morning?
Yeah.
That's not a hard thing for a man to do, to give up his 10 children that he might live. That's what he accused Job of doing there. Skin for skin, everything a man have, he'll give for his life. He didn't mind, in other words, God sacrificing his children, all of his substance, but you let him live. And so what does this bring on the conversation? Verse 5. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand. In other words, you can touch his flesh and his bone and his health and his body, whatever. But now there's one thing you're not going to do. Don't kill him. Save his life. You can't do that. And then, verse 7, so Satan did what? Is anybody there? So went Satan forth from what? Where'd he go? What did he find? He went back to Job's house. And the Bible teaches us there that he inflicted Job with boils from the sole of his foot all the way to the crown of his head. And Job took potsherd, it says, that's pottery-like, pieces of broken pottery, and sat down in the ashes and scraped the boils. That old pus that was running out of it. I mean, could you imagine trying to sit? But where was he at? He sat down where? In the ashes. Where'd he get the ashes at, folks? Did he have anything to sacrifice to God? He had no animals, no lamb. But the Bible teaches us that every day, you know what Job would do? Job would build an altar. And every day he would make sacrifice for his children, lest they had sinned and cursed God in their heart. He said, God, I'm doing this for my children. You know what I think Job did? I think when Job had nothing else to offer God, he had no lambs to offer God and nothing to sacrifice God, Job put himself up on the altar. I think he called upon one of them altars where he sacrificed those lambs before for his children there, probably that morning or that night or the day before that. He put himself on the altar and sat down in the ashes on the altar. What did the devil find? He found Job still worshiping God, no matter he afflicted him with boil from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Hey, we ought to just praise him this morning, folks. If you got good health, if you got able, listen, I told folks, I said, I've got one person that I believe in this church that worships God because of who God is. You know who that is? That's little Richard back here. Some days when people are singing, you know what I'll see him doing? I'll see him sitting back there patting his legs. He's not blessing God. He's not worshiping God because he's got good health. He ain't able to run like you children and play ball and swim. He's worshiping God because of who God is this morning. That's why we ought to worship him today. Glory to God. What a Savior we have this morning. That's what Job was doing. He was worshiping God because greatly is the Lord and greatly to be what? Praised this morning. Sometimes we worship, if we aren't careful, due to the circumstances. If we've been blessed with a good job, we praise God. There's times I've been confronted about quitting my job. Now, I had a heart attack back when I was young, 23 years old. The company I worked for, I was driving a truck for UPS. You may like UPS, but I don't care anything for them. If people's going to ship me something, I say ship it FedEx or something. They just kicked me out on the streets, and that was it. And the doctor wouldn't release me to go back driving truck or heavy duty. Just office work is all I could get. That's what he'd released me for. I went over to this place and went to work for them. And they gave me an office job as timekeeper. He's a big God this morning, folks. But I had an opportunity to go to work for the railroad as a telegraph operator. And I turned it down because I was teaching Sunday school in a little old small church, smaller than this year. I think about 70-some people, about our congregation. I didn't want to give up that job. And some people in the church, what they said, said he's being too picky. He's got a bad heart. I had a bad heart, but had a bigger God. I turned the job down, but I'm glad that God was able to take care of me. I don't want to worship him because the circumstances this morning. I want to worship him because he's God today. He deserves my praise this morning. Whether he blesses me with good health or bad health, whether I have a half a dozen heart attacks or what, my daughter said the other day, said, you're still running quite a bit. I said, well, if I go out with a heart attack, I'll get my prayer answered. I've always wanted God to take me out on the express route. I'm serious. I don't want to lay around with cancer and stuff like that, not able to do and stuff like that. I've tried to work and pay for my own way and do my own thing all my life. Hey, if he takes me out here with a heart attack, say, boy, he got his prayer answered, okay? Come to the funeral and rejoice and say, thank you, God, for answering the preacher's prayers. Listen, I want to praise him this morning because of who he is today. Right. Where did he go? What did he find? He went down to Job's house. Well, Job's friends come to visit him. They saw him afar off. And young people, they couldn't even recognize him because of the shape he was in. They didn't know who he was. And they come and they sit with him. Anybody know how long? 7 days and 7 nights. And didn't open their mouth. And they'd been better off if they stayed like that. They were like a lot of friends we have sometimes. I was carried on with Gilmer this morning. We were giving him a hard way to go downstairs. And I said, here he is walking on a cane and we're still aggravating. He said, well, I'm used to that. He wouldn't fit in any other scenario, would you, sir? That's what he told us this morning. Listen, but Job's friends, they came. Now, first of all, Job's wife come along. And she looked at Job and all these boils and everything. Says, does I still maintain thine integrity? Said, won't you just curse God and die? Now, it always amazed me how she knew what conversation took place with the devil and with God, wherever they's at in heaven, I think. Huh? I mean, when the sons of God came to Satan was in the midst, and Satan told him, said, if you'll touch his flesh, said, he'll curse you to your face and die. Looks like the devil had been talking to Job's wife. Don't you think so? And Job looked at her and said, you speak as one of the foolish ones. In other words, wife, I'd expect more out of you. He's still God this morning. He's still good to us this morning. And Job got down still worshiping God because of who he was today. His friends saw him afar off. Didn't even recognize him. They come and sit 7 days and seven nights. You talking about kicking a feller while he's down. Eliphaz, you know what he said? He said, you're reaping what you sowed, Job. Somewhere you... Ain't that the way when something bad happens to us? Somebody, it's always, we had to do something wrong. Poor old Lazarus would never got along in this generation. He said, you're reaping what you sowed. You've done something and you're having to suffer for it. Bildad come along and he said, I've been talking to the spirits and everything. I don't know what spirits he's talking to. And I've got an inside chair. And let me give you my opinion about it. He said, Job, I think your kids have sinned. You didn't discipline them. And God's punished you because of that. And Job sat in here and they couldn't even recognize him. You'd have thought they'd had some comforting words. And Zophar said, well, what's your problem is, Job? Said, you talk too much. I'd have had to say amen to that. Or old me. You talk too much. He said, now thank you. Well, he wouldn't even go as far as say exaggerate, but he said, you lied, you're a liar, and you're a mocker. Now think about that. These are his buddies. And Job looked at them, and they must have been all Baptists. And he said, three miserable comforters are you. He said, you boys, you make miserable comforters. You may be good friends, but you're miserable comforters. I was in church one night, and myself and two other preachers preached, and that's what the pastor told us. Said, three miserable preachers are you. So I said, God help us to do better. You can get that in a few minutes here. Listen, in spite of all these circumstances, in spite of his friends criticizing him, in spite of his friends saying he's reaping what he sowed, in spite of his friends saying your sins, kids have sinned and you didn't discipline them, in spite of his friends calling him a talker and a mocker and a liar, Job is still found worshiping God this morning. Hey, we ought to worship him today, don't you think so? And then, give me a few more minutes here and I'll close this out. Turn to chapter 23. Long about verse 12. We know he left out from the presence of the Lord. Where did he go? And what did he find? He found Job worshiping. Then he found someone that was determined to be faithful to God. Look at chapter 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of what? His lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, I like to eat, said, but his words, I esteem them more precious to me, more valuable to me than necessary food. Now, I never preach much on fasting. You can look at me and tell I don't do much of that, but that's what Job was saying there. He said, I'd rather sit down and, wait a minute, Job didn't, did he have a Bible? I don't even know. But somewhere he got a hold of the words of God, maybe through revelation, maybe through God visiting him. I don't know. I don't know. But he said, I esteem his words. He found somebody that's determined to stand for God no matter what the circumstances are. He said, I did what? Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Look at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. Job said, I walk forward. I the Lord's not there. He said, I go backwards and I can't perceive him or grasp that he's there. Okay? Is that what he said there? Yeah. On the what? Left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. He said, God, I can't find him nowhere. I go forward, I go backward, I go right, I go left. He said, I can't see God, I can't find God. Bless him. But he said, what? I'm not going to turn back. My feet are going to stay true to his commandments. Is that not what the devil found this morning? Somebody's determined to stand for God no matter. He said, I don't know where he's at, but he knows where I'm at. Look in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And he said, when the judgment's all set, and I stand before him, and I'm tried, and all the dross is burnt off of me, he said, I'm going to come forth just like gold, pure in his eyes. What did the devil find? He found somebody determined to stand for God. Well, no matter what the circumstances are, said, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to serve him. The Bible teaches you and I to be faithful unto death. Now, sometimes we look at that verse and if we're not careful, we'll misread it. It don't say be faithful till death, till we die in the word, but faithful unto death. Where if it costs you your life, still be faithful for God. If they martyr you, still be faithful for God. Be like Peter and say, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. So therefore the history teaches us that they crucified him upside down today. Yeah. Be faithful to death. And what's going to happen? You'll get a crown one day after a while. Faithful unto death and you'll get a crown one day after a while. The Bible teaches us to not to go worry and what? Are you listening to me this morning? Sometimes if we aren't careful, we'll go weary in well-doing. But he said, be you not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall do what? Reap. If you faint not. Sometimes if we aren't careful, we'll get faint-hearted along the way. If anybody had a right to get faint-hearted, was it not Job? His wife listened to the devil, turned against him, his friends accused him. I think he had a job as judge. And young men would come to him for counsel, but now the young men mocked him and made fun of him. But he said, I've not gone back from his commandments of his lips. He said, all my appointed days I've waited for my change to come. And then he kind of puts the icing on the cake. And I've said this before in church. I hope somebody in the family will do this. He said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. When I'm laying in the casket, hunt that verse up in Job there and put my finger on it and let the skin worms read it for their own self. This is not the end.
Amen.
I said, this is not the end.
Right. Yeah, right.
I'm going to live again.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to fly away, as the song says this morning. Whew. Because of God's grace, because of who he is today. Job said, this is not all there is to it. He said, there's something better than this life down here. And then, what did the devil find? He found someone who would trust God with his life, with his soul, with his destiny. Verse 10 again, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In chapter 13, you don't have to turn there, in verse 15, Job said this, sitting here with his boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, laying there on the altar and putting the ashes on him, and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I say this morning, and I mean it from the depth of my heart, if by some chance God elects or chooses to send me down there, I'll still praise him. I'll say, you're right, Lord. I deserve to be here. And you're still righteous and you're still good. And you let me live all those years and kept me out of hell when you should have sent me there when I was a young man, when I was rebellious, when I made fun of the church, when I said I didn't want nothing to do with your church.
You should have sent me to hell. And I deserved to be here. And sin was, iniquity was I conceived, and sin was I conceived, and iniquity was I shapen. I was got a sinful blood about me. Iniquity consumed me from top to bottom, and I deserve to go to hell this morning. But because of God's grace, I don't have to go there today.
Amen.
I think, well, just praise Him this morning, don't you?
Amen.
Praise Him because of who He is.
Amen.
Great is the Lord, and what? Greatly to be praised. Get us a song, please.